If you want to meet me in John chapter 21, we're going to be in that chapter in just a moment. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus' disciple Peter ever had nightmares. You know the kind I'm talking about where you wake up sweaty and you're reliving some moment. You're disoriented and it takes you even a few minutes to shake your head around and get reoriented and realize that what you just experienced isn't real. And in the days after Jesus' crucifixion, I wonder if Peter ever smelled smoke and heard a fire crackling, heard a voice that sounded like a servant girl's. I wonder if he ever experienced those things and shuddered. Because on that Thursday night, when given a chance to demonstrate loyalty to Jesus, Peter had failed in a big way. And I wonder if that moment just kept circling in his head. Have you ever had moments like that, experiences in your life that you just keep reliving, that show up at inconvenient times and just make you feel like a failure all over again? That's what happened with Peter. I imagine he woke up and brought himself right back to standing around a charcoal fire and being asked a question, not just once, but three times. Hey, are you one of that guy's disciples? No, I'm not, he said. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I saw you following him around. Got to be somebody else. Wasn't me. No, I'm really sure. You were with him recently, weren't you? I wasn't with him. Get away from me, Peter says. And at that moment, a rooster crows. Late at night, when a rooster has no business crowing. I mean, what would you do if you heard a rooster crowing? Not when it's time to wake people up, but late at night. Where would your mind go? Peter's mind probably went to just a few hours before, sitting around that table where Jesus said, I know you don't believe it, Peter, but you're going to deny me, not just once, but three times. And when you do it, a rooster will crow. And I wonder if in that aftermath, Peter thought, it's all over for me. I wouldn't blame him if he did, would you? I mean, this wasn't just a small failure where he misspoke. Peter denied Jesus, the Messiah, his own teacher that he'd followed for several years. He denied him. That's a big time failure. And if that moment were the end of Peter's story, it would be all over for him. But thankfully for Peter and for us, that's not the end of his story. In fact, there's a new beginning coming. Now, I told you to meet me in John chapter 21, but right before this, in chapter 20, this is where we get Jesus' resurrection and his appearances. That Easter Sunday where he shows up to his disciples in that locked room and they're overjoyed. And then even a week later in that same chapter, Jesus shows up again and he shows his scars to Thomas, the one who doubted. And Thomas believes. And John tells us that everyone is overjoyed. Everyone, I think, probably except Peter. Peter's still on the outs. Peter's probably in the corner, hoping to avoid a conversation. Everyone in the room is excited to celebrate the resurrection, but some people are still full of shame or doubt or grief, just like this room today, probably. Lots of people in here overjoyed as we celebrate the resurrection, but some of us are carrying grief and shame. And so thankfully, there's another chapter in John's gospel. Even after we think it's ended, even after the tidy wrap-up in chapter 20, there are more things to come. In chapter 21, we see another appearance of Jesus. It's at the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples don't recognize him at first. They're just spending time together, and Peter decides to go night fishing. I don't know why Peter decided to go fishing here. Why does anybody do anything sometimes? Maybe he just wanted to do the one thing that made sense to him in his disoriented life. All the others decide to go with him, but things don't go as hoped. John tells us the same thing I had to come back and report many times after I had gone fishing with family members. That night, they caught nothing. I kind of wonder if Peter thought, I think God's punishing me. Whatever he thought, it didn't have time to fester. Verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So they're processing their failed fishing trip. Jesus appears, the one who was killed a week or so earlier, the one they'd all deserted, the one that many of them had seen yesterday, but they don't know who he is. Maybe just someone passing by. Maybe things are about to get interesting. Verse 5, Jesus called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" I don't know if that's a taunt or not. "No," they answered. He said, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now they recognize him. After the miracles and the abundance, the fishing, this now is Jesus. They know it. Their teacher, risen from the dead. And Peter jumps into the water, and the rest of the disciples have to stay on the boat and haul the fish to shore. Peter is swimming about the length of a football field, and then he puts his feet on dry land. And when he does, he sees something. He smells something. Verse 9, a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So when they all land, they see a charcoal fire. It's the exact same kind of fire. It's the exact same original word John uses here. He only uses it for the fire of the denial and now this fire that Jesus has prepared on the beach. Have you ever had like a smell or a sensory input take you right back somewhere? My grandparents' house had a distinct smell. And it was the source of a lot of good memories and associations. So when my granddad died, I got a pair of his overalls. And I kept them in this sealed container. I didn't wear them very often. But you could open that container every now and then and still smell it. And it lasted for a few years. And when I would smell it, it would take me right back to childhood memories. And it wasn't just memories. It was all the emotions that were associated with that. I don't know if you have sensory memories like that. I don't know if you can maybe remember the smell of your very first car. Or if I said, tell me what music was playing on the stereo when you were in high school. Maybe it's a taste of a certain dish, holiday time. And if you had a bite of that again, not only would you enjoy the taste, but all these memories would come flooding back. Sometimes they're good memories, sometimes they're difficult memories. And I think that if Peter had tried to pack his pain away, I think the sight and smell of this fire brought it right back. Not just a cognitive memory of him saying, I don't know the man, but the panic that he felt. Not just the sound of a rooster crowing, but the shame that he felt on the inside. So Jesus, I don't think he just lit a fire to cook breakfast. I think he lit a fire to bring Peter back. So they eat breakfast, probably some awkward silence. The last time they ate together, Peter had strongly denied Jesus' prediction, and then he denied him. And now, around this charcoal fire, there's probably an unspoken, I told you so, echoing in Peter's head. But after breakfast, Jesus breaks the silence. Verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And he asked the question to Peter two more times, and two more times Peter answers, yes, of course. And Jesus keeps giving him tasks. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. This isn't some casual conversation. This is Jesus doing something very intentional. After this three-step Q&A with Peter, Jesus doesn't give him a hug or give him a new badge and credentials or say, welcome back into the club. Jesus gives him a task. Because in John's gospel, the questions Peter gets asked at that denial fire are very specific. It's not just, do you know him? It's, are you his disciple? Peter is not just denying a friendship, he's denying his discipleship in John's gospel. So Jesus is now giving Peter a second chance, but he's going to tell him what it will now mean for him to once again be a disciple. Verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Jesus tells Peter, one day you're going to face another moment, another test, another time when you will have to get yourself into some trouble for me, and you're going to have to choose whether or not you are my disciple. There'll be a third moment, a third test, a third fire. But this time, you won't run. I don't know if you've had moments of failure and you think they're so definitive that you cannot recover from them. And maybe you're worried that you're just going to fail again and again and again. And Peter's story says, just because you failed at one fire doesn't mean you're going to fail at the next one. In Irish tradition, there was a king named Conn of the Hundred Battles. The story says he lived around the 2nd century AD. And you might think with a name like Conn of 100 Battles, it was just victory after victory after victory. But it wasn't. The stories about his life include some wins, some retreats, some humiliating defeats even. But you got to pay attention to his nickname. It wasn't Conn of the 100 Victories. It was Conn of the 100 Battles. And he had the scars to show for it. Because he kept showing up again and again. And not every time was a victory. But he was known as the one who kept showing up and had his battle scars from his wins and his failures. I think that's what Jesus is doing with Peter. I mean, Peter's not going to be known as Peter of all the victories, but he's also not going to be known as Peter of the three denials. He's going to be remembered for what he does next. He'll be remembered as the one who got back up, who showed up again, who followed, the one who was willing to face the next fire. Where is it for you that you don't want to show back up? Is it in a relationship where the last words said left you confused or hurt or ashamed? Maybe it's in your own secret world where you just keep battling the same old temptations, the same old secret behaviors, the same old addictions. And Peter's story says, show back up because Jesus is with you in your next fire. Some of you are you're just still standing at the first fire. The fire of denial. You're replaying it and living in it. You're defining yourself by that moment of failure. Some of you, maybe even that fire has a name. It's a conversation you wish you could take back, or a decision that hurt someone you loved, a season where you walked away from God, a version of yourself you're ashamed of. For some of you, it's not that you replay it over and over again. You've learned to ignore it. You've stuffed it down. You stay busy, you keep moving, you change the subject, and you build a life where you never have to go back to that place. But once in a while, whether you mean to or not, you open that sealed container and you smell a smell, you taste a flavor, and for that moment, you are right back there again. You're back at that fire. And here's what you need to know. When Jesus meets Peter at the fire, he doesn't pretend that nothing happened and that everything's okay. He doesn't ignore it. He brings Peter back to it. Not to shame him, but to restore him. And he doesn't just forgive Peter and pat him on the back. He gives him something to do. Feed my sheep, he tells him. Failure does not disqualify Peter from the next mission. It's what sends him into it. And the question that Peter faced, are you one of his disciples? The question, it hasn't gone away, and it still gets asked to us. Not maybe by a servant girl around a fire, but in moments where following Jesus costs you something. Maybe in your workplace, or your relationships, or your decisions. Are you one of his disciples? Some of you may have been saying, no, not really. And that's okay, because today is not about shame. Today is a day of restoration. It's about your next fire. But the only reason that there is a next fire for any of us is because Jesus is no longer in the grave. The resurrection is not just that Jesus is alive, it's that he's come back to give second chances. Isn't that something all of us need at times? Because of the resurrection, Peter's failure doesn't get the final word. The first fire says you failed. The second one said you're restored. And the risen Jesus is already on the beach cooking breakfast. Not waiting for you to fix it or waiting for you to earn your way back, but he's ready to receive you and restore you and send you forward. So this week, instead of avoiding that place, I invite you to name it. I invite you to bring it to Jesus and tell him, I need restoration. I'm ready to move forward. The question is not, have you stood at the first fire? You have. The question is, will you meet Jesus at the second, so that you're ready for the third? Will you join me in prayer? God, we come to you as people who have stood at the fire. We confess the ways we've failed, in moments we've run, the places we've tried to hide. But we thank you that because of the resurrection, our story is not over. We thank you that Jesus meets us and restores us and calls us forward. So give us courage this week to name those places, to bring them to you, and to follow you once again. Help us to trust you at the next fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.